Around this time of year, theatres are gearing up to what's usually their most lucrative business, putting on a pantomime. So I thought I'd muse on just one of them, Cinderella. You all know the story. I had thought of reading it to you in a version that I've got, which is written in the style of the great Dr. Spooner, the great 19th century Oxford don who had the habit of mixing up the first letters of words. You remember that he told one student he'd tasted two worms and must leave Oxford by the town drain. Well, that version about the story was all about Cinderella and the Prancing Hints, and how her Gary Fodmother told her she would bounce at the door despite her suggly isters. But then I thought you might get as irritated as I did. I'd like to talk about three things relating to Cinderella. The first is not so important, but worth thinking about nonetheless. You'll all remember that when Cinderella runs away from the ball at midnight, she leaves behind her shoe. And the way that the handsome prince finds her is by asking all the young ladies of the district to try the shoe on to see who it fits. And we're used to the idea from pantomimes that it was a glass slipper, which sounds rather uncomfortable but very romantic. And the truth is we've got the story wrong. The story we know comes from a French book of fairy tales, and in that story the slipper is made not of glass but of fur. In the old French in which it was written, the two words sound the same. Ver, V-A-I-R, fur, and ver, V-E-R-R-E, glass. So you can see how the mix-up happened. But getting it a bit wrong doesn't spoil the story. Now, I think that's important when we get to think about what we believe. Some people get ever so excited that everything we believe has to be exactly right and precisely correct. You can understand that. But it's most unlikely that we'll ever get everything exactly right and precisely correct, in this life at least. We may be as wildly out as exchanging fur for glass. But what's more important is that we get the story right in outline, not in detail. Our Christian journey is just that, a journey on which we make more and more discoveries. We can't get it completely right from the beginning. Fur or glass, the shoes still fitted, and the couple lived happily ever after. And that's my second point from Cinderella. It's a story of happy endings. And that's also true, for example, of the baptism service. It's a very realistic and down-to-earth service in that it talks at the beginning about the fact that being baptized and following Jesus isn't always easy. It talks about fighting valiantly against sin, the world and the devil. And any of us who've tried it knows it's sometimes very hard to keep to the right things. But then later in that service, there are two reminders at least that the end of the story is a very happy one. After the baptism, we ask God that our new brother and sister in Christ will come to the inheritance of the saints in glory. And then we pray for ourselves that God will prepare us for that glorious day when the whole creation will be made perfect in Jesus. The journey of faith we begin at baptism ends with the day we arrive at our home in heaven, when the fight is over and the struggles are past. It isn't fashionable to talk about heaven, largely because we really don't know what to say. But there's a great deal of difference between a life which is aimlessly wandering about and life which has got a purpose and a goal. What God offers us in baptism is just that, a goal we are headed for, a place to look forward to. Pippa and I used to go walking in the Alps. Most days we walked quite strenuously up and down some wonderful mountains. We got tired, but because we knew where we were heading, it was exhilarating. On the couple of days when we just walked about a town, it was actually much more tiring, even though it was on the flat, because there was no sense of purpose in where we were heading. Christian discipleship offers to us all, whatever our age, a purpose, a goal, a direction. As the old spiritual puts it, I know where I'm going and I know who's going with me. In church we meet with the presence of the living Lord Jesus, whose story was one with a happy ending. The defeat of the cross was turned into the victory of Easter morning, a transformation even more amazing than pumpkins into coaches and mice into footmen. The third point from Cinderella is it's a story of goodness overcoming evil. The ugly sisters stand for all that's wrong in the world. They oppress Cinderella, they abuse her. She's virtually their slave. They think they have all the power and the good things in life, and that one of them will be the person to marry the prince. They're full of wickedness and spite and seem to have the upper hand. That's how the world can seem to us when we read the newspapers. The injustice and wickedness and exploitation of the weak by the strong happens between nations and within nations, as well as in families like the one in the story. It would have all been all too easy for Cinderella to have been drawn into all that and to have hated her ugly sisters in return. She could have become bitter and twisted. She could have wanted revenge for all the suffering they'd put her through. But the story isn't like that. She stays in the right. She remains true to her own good self, and that wins through in the end. Of late, we've been inundated with attacks and counterattacks in the Middle East. We have to go on praying that people avoid being drawn into retaliation, because two wrongs never make a right. The story of Cinderella is about goodness overcoming evil and right overcoming wrong. Some people may say that apply that to the real world rather than to fairy stories is being unrealistic and naive. That would be true if it were not for the true story that we also remember at the altar of the unjustified killing of a young man who'd done nothing wrong. If that had been the end of the story, looking for the triumph of good over evil would be wishful thinking. But if, as we believe, he overcame that evil by rising from the dead, then we're not being naive. We're being more realistic and true to the facts than anyone else. We need to hold on to the longer view, God's view. As I tried to put it in a hymn I wrote some years ago, to the unknown in this world and in heaven we look with faith, for all is in your care. The future is good, because it's in God's hands, as also are you and me.